Well, it was bound to happen. Your parents joined Snapchat. Will the app that everyone is using now lose its cool factor? And what is in the cards for one of the fastest growing social media platforms? More coming up.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello and welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing from New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. And I am not on Snapchat. However, 38% of smartphone users ages 25 to 34 are. And now folks that are even older and out of that classic demographic bracket are using it. 14% of users over 35 are snapping. 3 years ago, those numbers were 5% and 2% respectively, so there's obviously some crazy growth here. Joining us now from San Francisco is Wall Street Journal reporter Yori Ko, who will attempt to break down the huge influx of Snapchat users and what it will mean for the company. Hi, Yori. Welcome.
Hi, Tanya.
So I want to try to get... It's so funny to hear people explain what Snapchat is, especially to someone older. So I'm wondering if you can kind of just break it down. You imagine someone that is maybe a little bit older trying to experiment with it for the first time. How would you explain it to them?
I would say it's just a fun messaging app where you can quickly show, you know, for lack of a better word, a snapshot of your life, what's going on in that second to your close ones. This might not be an app where you have 2,000 friends. It might be just something that you use with a very close-knit group of friends and family, because it is an unfiltered version. You know, you don't beautify yourself. It's not the perfect photo. It's one that's taken and then it's gone 10 seconds later. So in a way, it's kind of liberating, mm-hmm. but it does take a different mindset.
You know, it's been around for a while, and I think longer than most people realize, but lately it's just surged in popularity. Suddenly everyone is on it. So just to put it into perspective, what's the daily user count up to?
According to a person familiar with the company, it's apparently about 150 million daily active users, which puts it about on par with Twitter.
Oh, no kidding. So it's just as many people as Twitter is using it, which it seems like Twitter's gone down a little bit in terms of popularity. One of the things that I noticed that really separates it, the first thing that I noticed was the lack of an option for public likes or comments. How important is that aspect?
It's quite important, and it's very important to the company's philosophy and reflects the thinking of CEO Evan Spiegel. He just wanted Snapchat to be an alternative option for those who just kind of want to show a quick glimpse of their life without judgment. So, you know, these not only are these disappearing photos and videos, but, you know, you're just putting yourself out there and not necessarily inviting back feedback, which is, you know, has become a very popular tool on other social media outlets like Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, which, you know, in some ways can make you feel good, but can also detract from the experience as well.
Right. It can make it a little bit of an awkward experience a lot of the time. Also interesting is Snapchat's stance on the influx of users. It seems like they've been doing little things lately to enhance the app to make it more appealing and user-friendly to a wider demographic. How are they doing that?
Well, they're just adding some more basic functions like video chat. I think Stories was a big breakthrough when they rolled that out. You know, they're really working hard on those media partnerships. And you know, when you looked at the first class of media partners that they brought in, it was very geared towards millennials or even Gen X, even younger folks, where, you know, it was folks like Cosmopolitan, Vice, and BuzzFeed. And then lately, you know, our very own Wall Street Journal has joined.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So, you know, and that has the added benefit of giving these more traditional outlets a new audience, but it also, you know, gives Snapchat a wider variety of media outlets for its own users.
And this...
So it works both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And it kind of sounds a little bit like a deja vu here, because this is pretty much what happened with Facebook. All of a sudden, you know, our parents were using it and it wasn't cool anymore. Can it then follow a similar path? Could it be in the cards for Snapchat to elevate more into the mainstream and more importantly to Wall Street?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, it was kind of inevitable that, you know, the Snapchat will eventually broaden out to other age groups, whether by just natural evolution, you know, where the teens are using it, the adults are curious what their teens are using, or if it was just outright marketing. But in this case, it was the former, where you know, is just gaining so much traction, natural traction, word of mouth kind of traction, that older folks are curious about what all the fuss is about. So, and this is good for Snapchat in that they do, I think, have very big ambitions for themselves. And in order to, you know, they are valued at $16 billion. And in order to sort of live up to that expectation, they're going to have to look outside of the teen audience.
Yori Ko, thanks as always for joining the podcast.
Thank you.
For more, you can check out Yori's article at WSJD.com. That'll do it for the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
Love this show? Check out others by visiting WSJ.com/podcasts. See our full selection under programs.